Sports Gamble Podcast.
Beverage hopper.
Yeah, I'm about to upgrade.
Ready to go.
All right, welcome to the Sports Gamble Podcast, NFL Week 6. I am here with the moneymaker himself, who actually made some money this weekend, Manny Hernandez. No, I thought you went 3-2.
No, man, that's what I wanted to tell you, man. I lost the juice. What happened was the send-out on the Monday night game was 7.5, and we got it at 7.
I was thinking
2-2 and a push. We just got to keep it real, you know? Like, oh, I got a 7, I got a push. The Super Hilton contestants, even they got 7.5. So that touchdown was just – it matters. You know, people are watching, or if they weren't watching the debate – but politics aside, you're sipping on something. Cheers to you, mate.
Cheers. I was going to say, it sounds like you're pouring something back there, man. What you sipping on?
I don't know. It's a little looking kind of dirty. It's a little squirt with a little Crown Royal.
Is that new smooth vanilla Crown Royal?
It is.
Our sponsor.
It's about halfway gone since last week.
With Sprite, dude. That just sounds delicious.
No, it's squirt.
Squirt. I thought you said Sprite.
Hey, something's going on. You hear it?
No.
It was going like kick, 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 kick. Like it was like muffling.
I don't hear anything. Do you?
All right, works for me. I did, but I don't hear it now. So.
All right, cool. We could edit that. All right, well, I lost my game. I had another terrible pick, so that's 2 wins to start the season and 3 straight losses. I'm hoping to correct that this week, but the good news is I had a good daily fantasy week, man. I feel like it's starting to come together. I was a few plays away from making some pretty good money. I made, you know, overall I made money, so that's a plus, but I think I was a few plays away from, like I said, actually getting higher up in some of these tournaments. I actually won a couple tournaments, but they were like those little small $5 16 teamers.
No, whatever, a win's a win, buddy.
Yeah. But yeah, so we'll go ahead and continue to break down the week 6 lines and the totals and give our little fantasy input and advice and go from there. Hopefully people listen to it, enjoy it, and win based on our advice. You ready?
Yeah, man. I'm born ready.
All right. Denver at San Diego. Denver 3-point favorites on the road. The over-under is 45.5. I think Trevor Siemian's coming back, right?
Trevor Siemian looks to be coming back. Chargers getting some money. Just an hour before we started, it was 3.5. Now it's 3. I was hoping for it to get to 4. Something was to happen because I was seeing San Diego plus 3.5 minus 120. So I don't know what was going on there. But I was looking to take San Diego. I mean, San Diego, statistically speaking, you know, they have a quarterback you want to back. They have the highest scoring team in the division. They scored the most points in the division, yet they see it 1-4. So this is a very intriguing game. San Diego doesn't want to go 0-3 in the division, and this is the Denver Broncos' first division game. So they don't want to start off, you know, the wrong foot.
Yeah, I'm thinking fantasy-wise, I mean, I don't play a lot of DFS tournaments or anything where they use Thursdays. But if you are, I think this is a good C.J. Anderson bounce-back game. It's going to be a really tough game for San Diego, especially with this defense. I'm not really liking a lot of fantasy options in this game. What do you think?
Man, I don't know if something's got to give. I think the 45.5, you kind of want to bet it over, but believe it or not, there's a lot of under trends. I don't know if people are trend bettors or not, but just for information's sake, the under in the last 6 in San Diego is 5-1. Overall, the under in the last 7 is 5-2. The Broncos are, however, 5-2 against the spread in San Diego, but that was with, you know, if you always got to look at the other coin when you're looking at over-unders, you know, and just trends overall. So speaking of like the last 3 years, Denver-San Diego, it's been the Peyton Manning era. So, you know, those totals were way jacked up, way up there, you know, up there in the 50s. So if you're not getting up there, your totals are going to hit under. And Denver with Peyton Manning was a pretty damn good team against the spread. So if you're going to bet Denver, I'd deal with a grain of salt. I wouldn't be too confident because the Denver offensive line, I don't know if it was a combination of Paxton Lynch, rookie quarterback for star, or a shaky offensive line, but Vic Beasley for Atlanta Falcons had straight up 3 sacks. And he wasn't really prone to get to the quarterback. He was pretty much labeled as a bust already, second-year guy out of Clemson. And defensive end Joey Bosa out of Ohio State made his debut against the Raiders, and that fool caused all kinds of havoc. He had 4 tackles, 2 sacks, a tackle for a loss. He looks like he's looking like he's going to be the real deal in his first NFL game on the road. Now he's coming home. I know, granted, it's a short week rest, but, you know, you always want to give advantages to the defenses, and this is a home game for San Diego. So I think 45.5 is looking a little bit too high for my blood.
All right, good analysis, man. All right, we're moving on to the Sunday games. Cincinnati at New England. New England, 8.5-point favorites. This is one of the highest sides of the week. Over under 47. Tom Brady, man, we called it 2-10 Tom, or whatever you like to say. Oh, man, he was pretty sexy.
Yeah, too bad we didn't call it on our fucking picks.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, you hate to be like, you don't want to be square and shit, but, you know, squares win games too. So yeah, I'm kind of kicking myself in the ass for not taking this game. It's just too easy, you know, when it's easy, just do it. The sportsbook lost all kinds of money. The public, you know, they're going to bet this game hand over fist. Even now, the Bengals just shitted on the road on themselves against the Cowboys. Now they got to face another public team. The money's already coming on New England, opening up 7. Now we're up to 8.5. I would love to see some double digits. Any team that's embarrassed, I'm willing to take the next week. I don't have to watch the game. Just sit there and take the points. Hold your breath.
Yeah, I think I would not bet that. Good luck with that. New England offense looked really good. I know that they can still give up points. They gave up points to Cleveland. One of my biggest mistakes last week in DFS was that I pivoted away from Tom Brady onto Aaron Rodgers pretty late. I made that late call. I just thought that Tom Brady, I thought it was going to be more of a LeGarrette Blount running game because they were going to be up so big on Cleveland. I was wrong and I paid for it because Aaron Rodgers didn't do shit. But luckily my other players that I had in there, I made some other good calls. So it kept me in the money. But what my point is that Tom Brady is going to put up consistently good fantasy numbers. It's just going to be hard to figure out who the recipient is. For example, Martellus Bennett caught 3 touchdowns last week.
Let me interrupt you. Like, just we overthought it, man. It was the fucking Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
They're fielding, like, they might as well be the Akron Zips or something, dude. There's already, like, there's Ohio State Buckeye radio talk about the Ohio State Buckeyes would beat the Cleveland Browns. I mean, this team is a joke. I think they're going up against a legitimate NFL team off an embarrassing loss. People know they pretty much lost 28-0. They changed the game. People don't know the Bengals lost 28-14. That game was a pick'em. The Bengals got the money. They went to favorite to -3. This is way too many points. I mean, I know you're saying I pivoted away from Tom Brady, but this is not the Cleveland Browns. This is the Cincinnati Bengals, and this is just way too many points. Well, I know you're not going to bet it, but I'm just saying, like, this is a real NFL team.
Hey, don't question, you know, my squareness. I might bet this game. But anyways, what my point was, Tom Brady's going to be great. I think it's going to be kind of difficult to figure out who's going to get all of the Tom Brady touchdowns. Because Gronkowski went over 100 yards, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
But and Bennett caught all the touchdowns. So,
but I'm gonna tell you this. Would you agree that the beneficiary of the Tom Brady offense is most likely going to be the tight ends and the running backs? I wouldn't. That's not too far fetched, you know.
Well, yeah, but they're talented tight end. They're talented running backs. They got Edelman. They got this Hogan kid who looks pretty good. And sometimes they run Amendola out there when it's 3 wide receivers. So there's just a lot.
Oh man. Speaking of this Hogan kid, I bet put this in your back pocket. Hogan, he left Buffalo. Buffalo's hurting for wide receivers. Buffalo smoked the Patriots without Tom Brady. When the Patriots go back up to Buffalo to return the favor, I don't think that spread can be big enough. But put that in your back pocket out there.
On the other side, Jeremy Hill looks like he's banged up. I'm really liking Giovanni Bernard. he gets a lot of passes. The Bengals could be behind, or they could be trying to keep up scores, so they might need Giovanni Bernard because he gets catches. AJ Green's always a good play. I mean, you know, he's a great talent, and I don't think there's anybody who can really slow him down. He's coming off not the greatest week, so people might be off him. That might be a decent play.
Yeah, I think in general you're right. I think people are going to stay away from Cincinnati Bengals because the New England Patriots have looked so dominant, and they look dominant without Tom Brady, and in their first game they just smoked the Browns. So, yeah, man, I can't wait to bet the Bengals.
All right, speaking of smoking, Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers travel to Miami to take on the Dolphins. 7.5-point favorites on the road, over under 47. So it's looking like the forecast is thunderstorms. Might not be the greatest weather, but I don't know if it's going to be that bad. Antonio Brown, 10K on DraftKings. He made it to 10K. That's his price. Is he worth it?
Man, you're the fantasy master. Is he worth it?
Yeah. If you can find a way to fit him in, I mean, he's always worth it, you know? I mean, 10K is...
If you can find a way to fit him in, if I get a dime for every time a porn star from San Fernando Valley said that.
I think he usually finds a way in that instance. But yeah, I mean, he's Antonio Brown, man. You know, even when he has off weeks, it's still like 6 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown. So you're still getting 20 points. It's really... It's really hard to not put Antonio Brown in your roster, but they're making it difficult. 10K. Sammy Coates, is he for real?
He's hurt already.
Dang. He got all those touchdowns.
He's looking like a questionable. They're saying that he's probably not even going to suit up.
That didn't last long.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I saw a bunch of drops. That's all I saw. I mean, anybody – that offense is going to put up numbers, whether it's Eli Rogers, Marcus Wheaton, Sammy Coates – Jesse James, the kid who got suspended for the year. What's his name? Martavis Bryant, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that offense is crazy. Le'Veon Bell is obviously a great play. Big Ben. If Coates can't go, I mean, I kind of like Jesse James anyways, with or without Coates. He's getting targets. And on that offense, that means something. The other side of the ball, do you see any way the Dolphins can sort of match? I mean... The over-under is 47, Pittsburgh 7.5-point favorite, so their projected point total is 27, almost 28. That's 4 touchdowns, you know. Is Miami going to be able to keep up?
I'm not an over-unders guy. I think keep up is, can they cover? Yeah, they can cover. 7.5 is a grip load of points. This is a good spot for Miami. They just got shitted on, so you know they had a tough week of practice. The two best linemen from Miami were out last week. That is Tunsil, the rookie out of Ole Miss, and all-world left tackle Albert, the kid Albert, came from Kansas City a few years ago. He was out. We know they have no semblance of a running game, of a true legit running game. Those two offensive linemen that filled in for said offensive linemen that I just said, they got cut after the game because Tennessee just dominated them. So not only that, but they're getting their best running back. This is going to be a different Miami team. And if you're looking at Pittsburgh, they already shit the bed once against the Eagles. So you might, you know, you kind of worry about them laying big points like this on the road. And if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm already thinking about next week. I'm not even thinking about the Dolphins because next week it's going to be Pittsburgh versus New England Patriots. So you talk about a look-ahead spot. This is a great look-ahead spot for Pittsburgh to get a bet against them.
So are you calling this a trap game, Manuel? Is this a trap game?
I don't know what the sharps or squares call it. I'm calling it a look-ahead game.
All right. Yeah, on the Miami side of the ball, Jarvis Landry I think is going to be a pretty good play. Forget that running back situation. It's a mess. Arian Foster might come back and play this week. But Jarvis and Devontae are the only two people that I would even think about playing from this team. Any other thoughts on this game?
No, not at all.
All right. Philadelphia Eagles at the Washington Redskins. Philly, 2.5-point favorites on the road. This is a division matchup, over under 44.5. Eagles coming off a loss, tough loss in Detroit.
First loss of the year.
Good call, Manuel, on that Detroit Lions cover. I'm going to give you props on that one.
Right on.
What do you think about this
Rocha.
One? Yeah.
Okay. I kind of lost you for a second, but all right. What do I think about this game? Well, if Philly keeps getting the money, I don't see how I couldn't take a division home dog. So Washington coming off an upset win in Baltimore, you know, they didn't really have to travel that far away. I'm sure it's just a bus ride away. So it seems like Matt Jones is running more conviction, and Philly, everything's catching up to them. I know Lane Johnson is done for 10 games, and I know the running back's a little bit banged up. Carson Wentz coming off. It's going to be interesting to see how he rebounds, but I'm not sure. Is this his first division game?
Didn't the Eagles?
I should know this. I'm sorry. So they started off. They beat the Steelers. Let me see. Okay.
I don't know. I'm sure we could find that out. Jordan Mack.
Here we go. I have it. The Eagles have beaten the Browns, the Bears, and the Steelers. And then they lost at Detroit. This is their first division road game, and they're favored with a rookie quarterback, with a division champs. I think the Redskins are going to be highly disrespected here. If it gets to 3, there's no reason why you can't grab up some Redskins money line.
Yeah, fantasy-wise, Jordan Reed is dealing with the concussion. He's having some symptoms in the week. He's dealt with these before. If he can't go, I think that kind of raises the value a little bit of DeSean Jackson. Maybe even.
Let me ask you this. Who's the tight end to own in Philadelphia?
Zach Ertz, when he's healthy, definitely. And if not, then Brent Celek and that other guy they have. I forgot his name, but he was fantasy relevant a few weeks ago. Porter? Trey Porter? No. But yeah.
I guess we don't know. It doesn't matter.
Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz.
Trey Burton. Trey Burton. That's that guy's name. Trey Burton.
Oh, Trey Burton.
But yeah, Zach Ertz. Yeah, definitely Zach Ertz. Why? Why do you ask?
Well, because I was just, like, searching through some DFS, and you see some Eagles, and it seems like they have, like, 3 or 4 tight ends, and I'm like, what the fuck? Which one do I buy, you know? But
well, when Zach Ertz was out, then it was Brent Celek and Trey Burton, and they were both getting pretty good amount of targets. So I think 1 week Burton had a good week, the other week it was Celek. And now Ertz is healthy, and those guys aren't getting targets anymore. It's all Ertz, so. Go figure.
Yeah. No, this is a good spot for Washington. Getting highly disrespected.
They are getting highly disrespected in division game. All right, let's move on. Baltimore at New York Giants. Giants are 3-point favorites at home, over under 43.5. Baltimore coming in with the new offensive coordinator. Does that make a difference in this game?
Yeah, I think absolutely it does. New offensive coordinator always jazzes up the offense. That's the Bills. They fired their offensive coordinator, which you're familiar with, Roman, and then they haven't lost since. They haven't looked back.
I think they haven't played the Niners yet. That's why.
Oh, okay, yeah, I agree with you. Definitely, they've had a friendly schedule, but I'll talk about that later. You kind of want to bet, you know, the Giants off, you know, 2 grueling losses against the Giants. Against the Minnesota Vikings, which I've said have the best defense in the NFL, like 2 weeks ago. And also the Packers, you know, they got embarrassed on Sunday night. Hopefully not too many people were watching because they're watching the debate. But, you know, after playing those 2 physical teams, you come home and you just want to rest. You kind of like a bye week because they're beat up. They're a beat up bunch. They're not really – their timing's not right. You have some miscommunication. They're not a real, like, running a well unit – like as a well unit team right now, like coached or otherwise. You got Eli Manning saying, you know, I'm sucking. And then you have McAdoo saying, like, oh, you're not really sucking that bad. And it's just like, come on, man, just let him take it. He sucks. You know, he's been sucking. He's the leader of this offense, and he's not moving the ball for whatever reason, you know. The running game is really putrid. You got offensive linemen for the Giants pushing ESPN reporters out of the way. Baltimore is like, you know what, they have a coach who's Super Bowl, who's been there, done that, he's seen it all. He's not going to stand for a mutiny. So I think Flacco and company, they'll get it together, you know? They're like, you know, let's cut the fat. Justin Forsett, you're out of here. Trestman, you're out of here. This is a tough spot for the Giants. I like the Ravens.
Yeah, good call. I think I agree with you as well on that end. Firing someone seems to have an impact, especially offensive coordinator, you're right. Fantasy-wise, man, we're still waiting for Odell to have his game. He's had some pretty good games, but nothing like he's had in the past. You're right about Eli Manning. Gosh, it's been ugly. And, dude, I think every Giants game has been ugly. All the Giants games that I've caught, I'm like, damn, do I have to keep watching this game?
Pretty bad. No, seriously, like, they can't find a better running back? Why did they throw Justin Forsett money? I'm not a Justin Forsett guy, but even the Lions are like, hey, let's get that guy in here.
Yeah. Speaking of running backs, Baltimore, I think Buck Allen's going to get a little more in the mix, but Terrence Rest is still getting the majority of the carries, but I still can't really trust anything. I guess this Kenneth
Dixon
guy.
That's one of the backfields that I want to definitely stay away from. You know, you have your Terrence West, and then everybody's still on Kenneth Dixon. He must be doing some amazing things in camp or practice because I just don't see it.
Yeah. This might be one of those Mike Wallace – four catches, 120 yards, and touchdown kind of game. Kind of thinking like he might break loose for a deep ball here.
Yeah, we haven't seen Flacco definitely fake a bootleg and just bombs away. I think that's what's been missing from the offense. Definitely, I would agree with you.
All right, so look out for that one. All right, moving on. Jacksonville Jaguars travel to Chicago, and the suddenly formidable Brian Hoyer at the helm. 2.5-point favorites at home. That's the Chicago Bears. Over under 47. That's one of the higher ones. Is Jay Cutler ever going to start for the Browns or the Bears again?
Yeah, man. Brian Hoyer, whether it's going to be because due to production or he's going to get injured, unfortunately, I don't ever wish anything like that on anybody, but he is what he is. He's not the type of guy to last the whole season. He's a backup. These guys are, man, they look good, you know, a couple games. One, he gets subbed in, he gets thrown in the fire. The other, he gets, you know, game planned against the Indiana Colts, who have a secondary from, it's just treacherous what they trot out there. And, you know, then he might look good against Jacksonville at home. You know, Jacksonville's definitely a quote unquote bottom feeder. So we'll see in the games ahead, but I still think Jay Cutler is going to get back in.
Yeah. Fantasy-wise, I think the big breakout star last week was Cameron Meredith. A little tougher matchup this week, but he is at home, and he is going to get a lot of targets, so you can definitely roll with Cameron Meredith. I think this is a good spot for Jordan Howard. His price has gone up and up and up in DK, but he's getting all the carries, and he's doing positive things with them. On the other side of the ball, Allen Robinson should have a pretty good game. He's been pretty consistent, the only one in Jacksonville. And I kind of like Allen Hurns. He's kind of going overlooked, but he's been quietly having, like, okay games. He might be due for a breakout.
You know what? I think you're right. This total is kind of high because the only time the Jacksonville Jaguars have moved the ball this season has been against the Indianapolis Colts secondary, and that was in London because they've been there 4 years in a row, and they know exactly what that game entails. So they had the upper hand on the Indianapolis Colts.
They probably had some bangers and mash in the morning or some fish and chips or something.
Yeah, something made them go.
They knew exactly the chip shop to go to on the way to the stadium.
Yeah, I think it's none of the Bears front seven have been playing better. They knocked the hell out of Andrew Luck last week. He was sacked like a shitload of times. And Blake Bortles is athletic, but still – still, I know the grass, they don't cut it in Chicago, so the front seven will get to him. And Jacksonville still hasn't really developed a running identity. They don't know if Chris Ivory's the guy, if, you know, his hemorrhoids have gone away. I don't know.
Damn, those are some bad hemorrhoids. Landed him in the hospital for a few days.
Ain't no fissures. They'll do it to you.
Yeah. All right, let's move on because it's getting gross. Carolina at New Orleans. Carolina, 3-point favorites on the road. Looks like Cam Newton is going to play. This is the highest over-under of the week at 53. Is there any reason why we shouldn't just load up on these players for fantasy purposes on both teams?
Yeah, man, you got to do it. You have Carolina coming off a terrible performance on Monday Night Football. Offensively speaking, they're just embarrassed, and the Saints coming off a bye, you know, I can't even say they're going to be fresh to tackle because the athletes that Carolina puts out there, you know, they say Jonathan Stewart's practicing, so Mm-hmm. Hopefully they establish that balance. You know, the only case I can make is maybe apparently what's this guy's name? Cam Newton's entourage has been telling him, you know, that he has to play differently. So if that gets in his head, that might affect the way he's playing. But even then, if that happens, then Drew Brees, he's going to boat race the Panthers, believe you me.
Yeah, dude, and I haven't heard someone say believe you me in a long time, so I think you're serious about that statement.
Always so serious, brother.
Yeah, dude, 53, dang, I feel like you can't make this line high enough. It is a division matchup, but I think Cam Newton has like 10 touchdowns or 9 touchdowns in his last 3 games against New Orleans or something ridiculous like that. Drew Brees, everyone knows he's just ridiculous at home. Carolina can definitely give up the pass, so, geez. Willie Snead is a guy that I like, a mid-range guy that I like. If Michael Thomas is healthy, I know he's dealing with some injury, that might be another good play. Or, I mean, I think everyone's going to be on Cam Newton, you know, for daily fantasy purposes, and for good reason. He is the highest-priced quarterback, though, so, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's definitely not worth the highest price. I'll say that. I didn't know that. I just thought you were speaking from an over-under perspective. You definitely bet the over, and you know you're going to buy your Kelvin Benjamins, your Greg Olsons. Maybe it's I think it's a good comeback week for Brandon Cooks. You know, he's been shy. Oh, shit.
There you go.
That's the give me the D right now, ASAP.
Dang. Hey, you're on a schedule. That's good, man. That's really good. All right. The LA Rams travel to Detroit. Detroit 3-point favorites at home. Over under 44. Dude, for some reason, I'm really liking Tavon Austin in this game for fantasy. He's really cheap on DFS. He's getting a lot of targets consistently.
And yeah, he's I like playing Tavon in a too.
Dome. He's playing in a dome, so he's about to go off.
I agree, man. That he's playing on a freaking on a track, you know, on a fast track. So I couldn't agree with you more. I gotta get those on the right page. I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't disagree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. The Detroit Lions are definitely frauds in my eyes. They've won 2 games against at Indianapolis and home to the Eagles by a combined 4 points. So I don't really hold them really as a true legitimate NFL playoff contender. And the Rams, they bring a defense. You're gonna have to check the defenses. You're gonna have to check the defensive starters for the Rams, because last game, last minute, 3 of their 4 defensive linemen were out: Michael Brockers, Robert Quinn, and William Hayes. And you saw what LeSean McCoy did. I don't know if Detroit has quite that potent of a running game to do that to the Rams, but if those 3 of the 4 guys are out, you know, that leaves the lone, I think Donald Penn is his name, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, for the Rams, yeah, defensive line.
Yeah, so that's tough. This is a tough road game, but the Rams, their defense and special teams, they have Todd Gurley. They definitely play keep away from the Matt Stafford and Marvin Jones.
Yeah, as far as Detroit, you know, the bet is just a standard 3-point favorite at home. I don't know if I could bet a side on this game or the total. It's looking like a stay away to me.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the Rams is you got to bet them and not watch them, because Case Keenum, you'll just pull your hair out. And we're getting at that age where you got to count your blessings if you got hair.
What do you mean, dude? I'm 33 and I got a full head of hair. You know that, man. My hair is great. You can braid it. You can put it in cornrows.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Anything you want to do with it.
Yeah, well, not anything I want to do with it.
No, but, no, of course not. Okay. So only a certain kind of guy can pull off that look. Anyways, yeah, man, yeah. Let's move on. The game of the week. Game of
certain
the century.
Certain kind of Niner fans.
Yeah. Game of the century, dude. Speaking of Niner fans. San Francisco at Buffalo. Buffalo, 7.5-point favorites. Huge disrespect, because this is a return right here. The return, Colin Kaepernick. Over under 44. I think Kaepernick's going to score 44 on his own, so you might as well just bet the over on this game. What do you think?
Well, there's no need to write up an editor's pick. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Kaepernick, 44 points, hits the over all by himself.
I believe I'm banned from betting Niners and teasers.
So. Oh, I'm glad you remember. That was a test, and you passed.
Thanks.
With flying red and blue, white Buffalo Bill colors. No, but seriously, man, I think the Buffalo Bills are hella fortuitous, man. Like, check it out. So they start off 0-2, right?
Yeah.
Come with me on this journey.
Okay, let's go.
They start off at Baltimore. They put up like 10 yards of offense, and they lose 13-7.
Yeah, that game was terrible.
Then they get smashed by the Jets, and they fire their offensive coordinator. They have 10 days in between the Arizona Cardinal game, and then Carson Palmer is putrid as hell, which we predicted. And so they get their first win of the season. Then they play Buffalo Bills. They go to New England for a division game, which they're all amped up, and they play a third-string rookie quarterback in Brissett, and they swoop his ass. Then they fly cross-country to L.A. Rams, and then, like I said, at game time, the Rams, three of the starting four defensive linemen, they get fucking – they get, you know, designated inactive. So I definitely give the Niners a shot. Chip Kelly always comes up with something special or something creative. I mean, this fool was one with Nick Foles. Nick Foles is not even in the league. Not that I remember. I think he got cut by the Chiefs. He won with Michael Vick. Michael Vick had no future with the Pittsburgh Steelers after he left Chipper. Who else did he win with? He won with the Sanchez. Sanchez is not even in the league anymore.
Barkley. These teams,
Barkley.
Yeah, but he didn't really win with those guys. Come on. The only guy he really won with was Nick Foles. Those other two guys.
He took all those teams to the playoffs. All those guys went to the playoffs.
Oh, man, dude. But come on. They had, like, good receivers and stuff. And LeSean McCoy.
They had the same shit receivers. They had DeSean Jackson one season. And they had McCoy one season.
No, and Macklin. They had Jeremy Macklin.
Oh, hold on. Oh, you're talking about the all-pro, all-world Riley Cooper?
And don't forget about Riley Cooper either.
Oh, my goodness. I think you're selling Niners short here. I definitely sprinkle some on the money line right here.
And look, all I know is the Niners defense is having trouble stopping the run. Buffalo can run the ball well, and it's going to be really tough for the Niners to win this game.
This is not a good spot for the Bills, dude. They just came across country. I know the Niners have come cross country, but they have extra days of rest. They're playing on 10 days rest right now, you know? So, I don't know. Who's your people to purchase? Obviously, the Niners just gave up like 200 yards to David Johnson, so everybody's going to buy.
Everyone's going to be on McCoy. But for good reason.
At $6,900.
Yeah.
I don't see how Ezekiel Elliott is – that goes to the power of the Cowboy fan, because Ezekiel Elliott somehow is ahead of him, even though Ezekiel Elliott is playing in Lambeau and LeSean McCoy is playing at home. Ezekiel Elliott is more expensive, and Ezekiel Elliott it has to share the rock with Fromo, so that's kind of perplexing. But, yeah, I mean, I can't discourage a LeSean McCoy purchase, but I definitely would like the over, which I know you tend to – side with, and I know that Kaepernick will be ready because Kaepernick is going to be coached by Chip Kelly.
Well, I sure hope so. The only other fantasy relevant guy I would talk about is Carlos Hyde, who has just been consistent. You know, he's been getting a lot of carries and being pretty good with them. You know, 80 yards and a touchdown every game, it seems like. So I would
say. Yeah, you have to be, because, I mean, Blaine Gabbert sure is hell not. I mean, that's why he's not starting. It's like 3rd and 7, unless they're a 3-yard pass.
Yeah, right, dude. 1.5-yard pass, not even 3 yards.
Well, anyways, I think you're underselling Curley. I know we went after him in a couple leagues, and I don't know how much he costs in DFS. I'm not 4K. Really looking at him, but.
He's 4K. Huh? He's 4K.
Okay, well, that's not. I've seen more expensive. I'll say that.
Yeah. Cleveland Browns at the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee 7.5-point favorites at home. Over-unders 44. Marcus Mariota coming off a 4-touchdown game. Manuel, is there any reason to not play the Tennessee Titans defense in this game for fantasy?
You load up on some Tennessee Titans all day. Especially if you've been waiting for them to come through in the passing game. I'd give me some Tyjae Sharp, some Delaney Walker. You know... Marco Murray, he's too pricey for my blood. I'd rather spend some money on receivers. But you can't go wrong because I really think that Tennessee is going to run the ball down Cleveland Brown's throat, and it's going to open up the passing game and play action. I can really see another four-touchdown performance by Mariota, you know, two rushing, two passing, you know, not ridiculous, you know, still like your 180 yards passing, but four touchdowns, 180 yards, you know, your high school stat line. That, how many points is that? Like maybe 25?
No, that's a lot, dude. Four touchdowns is 24 points. So you add the yards and everything else, and he's looking at 30, 35-point game.
Oh, yeah, 30 points easy. I mean, I'm not even talking about his they're doing a lot more design runs now for Mariota.
If you say 30 points easy for Mariota, then he's the play of the week because he's not that highly priced. And
I'll tell you what, I'm playing on my team. I'll tell you that much.
All right, you heard it there. Anybody you like on the Cleveland side of the ball?
Cody Kessler. I wish Hugh Jackson was back in the Cincinnati Bengals sideline calling plays this week. Just go this week, call plays for Andy Dalton in New England and come back. Nobody will miss you.
All right, now we're getting into the late games. Kansas City, the Chiefs coming off a bye, travel to Oakland. Over-under's 47. Manuel, I'm seeing a pick-em. Is that what you got?
Yeah, I'm seeing a pick-em, man. And Andy Reid is like pretty much flawless after a bye. Last time Kansas City Chiefs played, they got dismantled on Sunday Night Football against the Steelers. They've had a long time to think about it. And what do you know? Division rival, Oakland Raiders. They go to see the Oakland Raiders maybe for the last time in Kansas City Chiefs history because next year they're going to be playing in Las Vegas. The Oakland Raiders have been out-yarded by every opponent this season. And four out of the last five times, it's been the opponent's season high in yardage total. So I think this is the game that is going to – I know Jamal Charles played last against the Steelers, but this is where you want some Jamal Charles, some Macklin, some Kelsey. Sounds like some good old barbecue.
Yeah. Okay, so we're looking at a little bit of rain possibly for this game, and it's in Oakland, so it's going to be on that crappy-ass infield-looking diamond.
Oh, no, it's grass now.
Oh,
but it's still going to be muddy.
So what do they do? Just put like turf over it or something?
They just let it grow out, baby. They just let it grow.
God, that field sucks. Maybe they get a new stadium in Vegas soon anyways.
Oh, you're talking about the field? I thought you were – never mind.
Oh, yeah. I like the Chiefs, man. I like them coming off a bye, like you said. I actually like
– I love the Chiefs.
I think Alex Smith's a good fantasy play, and you compare him with Kelsey or Macklin or even Chris Conley. Because the Raiders haven't been too good against, like, number two wide receivers.
The Raiders suck.
So there's that. And obviously Derek Carr has been putting up points consistently. So I have Cooper and Crabtree. So you can go with them. I'm not touching that Raider running game, though, at all in any level.
Nah, man, you can't touch that Raider running game. But you like to see that Derek Carr is not turning the ball over. So, you know, he making hella good decisions, and I just like Kansas City with the rest, you know. Andy Reid, they're a 2-2. They're lucky to be 2-2. I know last year off the bye, they went like on a 10-11 game winning streak. I'm not saying that's gonna happen, but actually it can happen. The Chiefs next three games, they play like some of the shittiest defenses in the league, like top five worst. They play the Raiders. Let's see here. I'm sorry, give me a second. Hold on. I don't know. They play a shitty defenses though coming up. I kid you not.
Yeah. All right. Oh, well, here we go, Kansas City. Moving on. Atlanta.
No. Here we go.
All right.
Okay, so they play at the Oakland Raiders, then they host the Saints, and then they play Indianapolis, and then they play Jacksonville and Carolina and Tampa Bay. That's like 6 shitty defenses in a row.
Yeah.
You gotta love it, you know?
I love it.
Cool.
You know what else I love? Can I move on to the next game now?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's fine. Atlanta at Seattle. Seattle 6.5-point favorites at home. Over under 45.5. I really like Russell Wilson this week. Especially when you look at all of the different quarterbacks on DFS that people are going to be all over. I mean, they're going to be on Cam, Drew, Brady, Ben, Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck. Behind all those guys is Russell Wilson. And I think
I got an eerie feeling about this game for Russell, man. I don't know. I'm kind of I received some information about, you know, Pete Carroll off a bye tends to really hit the brakes. He breaks the momentum. So kind of scared. Kind of scared me a little bit, to be honest with you. The Falcons, do you know they had all their wins this year? They're on a 4-game winning streak, right?
Right.
They've all been straight up underdog wins. At Oakland, 5-point underdog win. At New Orleans, 3-point underdog win. Carolina, 3-point underdog win. At Denver, 5-point underdog win. I don't know. Something's clicking in Atlanta. They have momentum. And I don't know. I mean, I know the offensive line is still shitty for Seattle. You know, it's all of a sudden going to get good. Like I said, Vic Beasley got 3 sacks against the world champion Broncos. I know Russell Wilson's a little bit more elusive. I know we have him hopefully for our sake, you know, he is, but I'm going to get you that information that scares me off of Pete Carroll off a bye. I don't have it on me, but I'll definitely be getting it to you.
Well, I hope the Falcons do score, because that means Russell Wilson's going to have to score. I really like pairing him with Jimmy Graham or Doug Baldwin. I just think this is a good spot for Seattle coming off the bye. Russell Wilson coming off a big game when they did play 2 weeks ago. Atlanta can put up points, so that's good. That means Seattle's not just going to run away with it and stop trying to put up points. But, I mean, Pete Carroll strikes me as a guy to kind of just put up points anyways. He seems like a dirtbag like that. And
yeah, I mean, I don't have anything combative right now. I just know that if they want to stay in the game, Atlanta Falcons have a hell of a running back duo to do it, you know? So yeah,
they do, but Seattle has a really good defense too.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I think that it could be a low scoring game. But you know, I'll get you the aforementioned information. We can move on.
Okay. Dallas at Green Bay. This is probably going to be like freaking the most watched game of the week, easily. Over under 47.5. Packers are 4-point favorites at home. Still waiting for Aaron Rodgers to do his, 400-yard, 5-touchdown game. I hope it comes soon. For fantasy purposes, that would be great. He did throw 4 touchdowns in the first quarter against the Jaguars, was it?
Yeah.
No, or the, no, Lions or something. Lions, I think.
Oh, it was the Lions. Yeah, they got up to that big lead and then shut it down. Barely hang on. 34-27.
Dude, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, the rookies are doing work for Dallas. Are they going to do work on the road against the Packers?
I don't know. What exactly is Tony Romo's situation?
Fucking, dude, doctor said he need a bacchiatomy, dude. That fool's back is jacked up. Who cares what his situation is?
Well, Romo said, Jones said it's healed.
Dude, it doesn't matter. Does it matter at this point? I mean, let's say Dak Prescott wins.
It does matter. Jones is, like, loyal to that guy. And, you know, I don't think that 400-yard game is coming from Aaron Rodgers anytime soon.
I don't think so either. And it's really frustrating trying to pick the wide receiver for Packers.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate that wide receiving quarter. I mean, I like it. I want to like it. But, I mean, you talk about needing a bacchiotomy. Did you see the hit Randall Cobb took at the last play of the game against the Giants?
Yeah.
That motherfucker was a folded chair, dog.
Yeah. Yeah, he got hit pretty good. And he's questionable, but it looks like he's going to play. On the other side, allegedly Dez Bryant was practicing, but I don't think he's going to play this week.
I think the Cowboys might be better off having that fool not play.
Seriously.
Man, I can't get a good read on the Cowboys. I wanted to bet them against the Niners. Excuse me. I wanted to bet the Niners, and the Niners got off that 14-0 start. I hate to remind you. And then the Cowboys come back, but it is the Niners, so it's not like unfathomable. And then the Bengals, their secondary was actually really banged up, so they didn't have a full defense. And I'm not making excuses for the Bengals because that was one of my selections, but just saying. it's really hard to beat a team that's going to play keep away and has like a stable of running backs with the most awesomest offensive line. And Dak Prescott's not going to make the, you know, the dumb decision that Tony Romo is. I'm not going to bet this game because I just can't believe how the Dallas, this just doesn't fit the Dallas criteria, you know, like winning games on the road and coming back from 14-0 deficits and home field advantage, like actually winning at home and covering. It just sounds so un-Cowboy-like. Seriously, like if you follow betting and trends, it's just stifling me.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, if they win this week, then they're going to make believers out of me for sure.
I would love it if they win this week, because if they win this week, I'm betting against them the next.
Oh, man, for real. That line's going to be inflated. This line might be a little inflated. I mean, have the Packers beat anybody as good as, you know, the Bengals or the Niners?
Shit. Well, who have they beaten? They've beaten the Lions, they've beaten the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Giants.
Yeah. I mean, the Giants beat the Cowboys, but that was week one, and that was with Dez, and, you know, we know how much better they are without Dez, so.
Yeah, dude. Who would you have on your team, ODB or Dez?
Fuck. Completely healthy, I'll probably say Dez.
Dude, I was going to say ODB.
But.
Because ODB, if he gets ejected, there's a chance that you can still, like, have the rest of the team play. But, like, Dez won't get ejected. He'll just complain and affect the whole sideline with his fucking poison.
Oh, man. He reminds me a lot of the eighth graders I work with who just get way too emotional, like on some, you know, street ball stuff.
Oh, man, I have no idea. Thank God.
Anyways, moving on. Yeah, that game's going to be great. I really like the three afternoon games. The Raiders, the Chiefs, Atlanta, Seattle, and the Dallas Green Bay. That's going to be some excellent red zone viewing right there. Definitely. Nah. All right. Sunday night, Indianapolis at Houston. Over under 46, Houston 3-point favorites. I love me some Andrew Luck this week as well. T.Y. Hilton is getting it done. Philip Dorsett, not so much.
Wait, you know what? Hold on. I don't know if I have Andrew Luck. I think I might have misspoken. I don't know if I have Andrew Luck or Mariota as my fantasy quarterback. Oh, no, it's Andrew Luck. I apologize.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Andrew Luck. Those are both good.
The Houston secondary is, if Thielen can take it to the house for like nearly 150 yards, I know it was at home, but still. Thielen is like a, you know, third or fourth wide receiver in this league. I think I like Indianapolis to win this straight up. I know I've been talking shit about their secondary, but still, this is still Andrew Luck versus Brock Osweiler. And if the Texans want to shoot out, they can't shoot it out with the Hobbit, Andrew Luck.
Yeah. He's a Hobbit? Really? FOS is a fucking little.
He's got the fucking neck beard going, bro.
Oh, yeah. He does. He grows in the neck region pretty good. Maybe if he grows it enough, it'll just connect with his chest hair and it'll just be like a nice little carpet.
Straight Hobbit, so. Dude. He's got freaking hair on his feet. You probably can't it.
Oh, man. I think Lamar Miller, who has been very disappointing lately, this might be a good opportunity to buy low on him and he might have a breakout game because he's still getting a lot of carries but not doing anything with them.
I'm gonna sound like a terrible person, but I'm waiting for Frank Gore to die so we can just buy Ferguson already. Somebody else besides Gore, dude. I know what you're saying, like, oh man, if they were good enough, they probably would have taken a job already. But I find the Indianapolis Colts some loyal sons of bitches. They're from the Midwest. They're gonna play the money. They're gonna run Frank Gore into the ground. And, you know, he probably is on his fourth set of prosthetic knees. You and I both know that. So, Turbin's out for some reason. I don't even bother looking on his note, you know, on his injury note. But whatever, you know, this is a spot where you bet your quarterbacks and you bet the over because T.Y. Hilton and DeAndre Hopkins, they're going to get the ball a lot.
Yeah, I hope so. I like both those guys for fantasy plays, actually. Speaking of Frank Gore, man, he just surpassed Jim Brown for number 9 on the all-time rushing list. Is Frank Gore a Hall of Famer? Yes or no? There's only one right answer, and it's yes.
Yeah, man, I'm not going to argue against it. I mean, I still remember seeing that guy at the U. and he somehow said he wasn't going to have – they said – allegedly, the expert said he wasn't going to have much of a pro career. The Niners took a chance on him in the second round, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I thought I remember hearing that he wasn't ever going to walk again.
Wow. No, that's fucking Niner legend myth shit, dude. Nah, quit it.
Nah, dude.
That's terrible.
He came in training camp on a wheelchair, dude, and now look at him.
Dude, don't fuck around with that, dude. I haven't had enough fucking Crown Royal vanilla for you to start that shit.
All right, man.
Monday night. But for reals, are we going to make it to the point this season?
I hope so. I think...
You got to plot that shit, Don.
I know. I got to plot that, and then I go, and then I got to get divorce papers handed to me.
You got to, like, you know, like, suck, you know, like, just... I was watching a movie, and it's just like... The guy was like, I got to go on there and just dart her in the butthole, and then, she, you know, because this week's got to be... Oh, no. It's a new series on HBO called Divorce, actually. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, is it starring a guy who went to the South Point and didn't get... His wife was unhappy with that, and he comes back and gets divorced.
No, seriously. You remember the co-star on Sideways?
Yeah. He looks like a divorced kind of guy.
Like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Sideways?
Yeah, the movie, yeah.
The wine movie?
The wine movie. It's a great movie. Yeah,
Sideways. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, his buddy is, like, playing a divorced guy. Sarah Jessica Parker wants a divorce from him. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, can I just, like, you know, tongue dart your butthole and you'll change your mind? And she's like, what? No. I was like, oh, man, that's something I would say. Like, fuck.
You're all, oh, dang it. That was my only plan. Sorry.
Yeah, I was like, damn, that was the only hope I had. Like, oh, damn. Anyways, enough about tongue darting Desiree's butthole. Let's go to Monday Night Football.
Dude, I really hope your wife doesn't listen to this podcast all the way to the end.
Nobody listens to this podcast all the way to the end, bro.
Oh, we do, man.
If they did, they wouldn't ask me questions. I listen to it. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Well, all right. Last game, Monday night, New York Jets at Arizona Cardinals. I guess Carson's going to play this game, so that means Arizona is probably not going to win. But they're 7.5-point favorites at home, over under 46.
Oh, God. Dude.
This is not a good Monday
night. What's the over under on interceptions in this game? It just hit me.
Oh, that might be a good, a great bet, dude. I don't know.
Fucking Carson Palmer.
That'd be a good prop bet.
Patrick. Yeah. It's got to be like 4.5.
This could be
like they each get 2 and then one of them is going to like take it home.
This could be an ugly game, dude. There's actually like some really great wide receivers on the field, like Brandon Marshall and Larry Fitzgerald. And those, I think those two guys actually make their quarterbacks look way better than they really are.
Because I think a good bounce back could be like Eric Decker. You can buy him. He's probably like a really good, you know, like he's not too expensive, not too cheap, really under the radar. I think people should just pick him up on their DFS and ready to roll and just, you know, sneaky like, oh, you're like need 10 points, you know, to win. He's good for 20 on Monday night.
Yeah, it's very sneaky, especially the fact that he's on injured reserve for the rest of the year. Yeah, you try to sneak
that. Damn you, Roach. Damn you.
Try to sneak it in.
Totally. Oh, man. No, I have no idea. These games, dude, why don't they start the whole flexing situation, like, now, you know? Why couldn't they flex, like, Atlanta and Seattle into Monday Night Football?
Seriously. Or Dallas, Green Bay. Or, like, you know, give us the good ones.
Give Oakland the last, you know, its last Monday Night Football ever. You know, Kansas City off a bye. Oakland's actually scoring points. I don't know. Make it like Tim Brown remembering Jersey Night or something.
Or maybe it's like a Donald Trump rally night for the Niner game or something. Shit. You know.
You're terrible.
Something like that.
Dude, I heard that Tom Brady got hit up about Donald Trump, and he was like, okay, thanks. Bye.
Yeah, dude, no one – whatever. I don't want to get into that. All I know is – I'm looking to bounce back on my bet so I can get to 3-3 and start making the people some money. Manuel, you're climbing up slowly but surely. I guarantee you're going to have a winning record by the end of the season, and then the haters won't have anything to say.
Well, hopefully, yeah. I mean, not hopefully. I know that's for a fact. I think hopefully they have something to say. I mean, haters, I love haters. They always keep me going. That's my juice.
Hater juice.
hated juice. Anyways, my wife just hit me up on text talking about, come over here, I'm having a drink. And I'm like, oh, I'm podcasting, baby.
That's sexy, dude.
I know, huh?
All right, well, you go handle that. And thank you for your time. Thank everybody else.
Thank everybody else.
Sports Gamble Podcast.
Jody.
Tune in Friday night. We'll have those picks up. Sports Gamble Podcast. We out. Peace.
Peace.
Tired of losing? Not winning enough? Sports Gamble Podcast. Your mom's favorite sports gamble podcast.